Breaking news, a bipartisan stimulus bill related to COVID has been reached. Congress is expected to vote later today. We'll have as many details for you as possible for how it affects you as individuals and your small businesses today and more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so this is something Congress did not look like they were going to be able to do. I'm sure it won't make everybody happy, not every part of this will, but I think that there was a consensus, I know amongst a lot of conservatives as well, who don't like government stimulus plans and bailouts, that they thought we needed another one. We needed another one for individuals who do work. We needed another one for individuals who are unemployed. And we needed another one for businesses, small businesses. So another PPP loans, the payment protection loans, so that if you work for a small business, they have an incentive to keep you on staff and to keep paying you, even if you're in one of the states where you're not really able to carry out your job. Or even if you are carrying out your job, they're not making wide mass cuts yet to those who are employed. So this is what we know right now. It's a $900 billion bipartisan proposal. The vote could be as early as today in Congress. It's intended to blunt the fallout economically, not on the stock market side and so much as it is on the individual side and small business side. It'll be a combined $1.4 trillion in spending to fund government operations for the fiscal year so that there's not a government shutdown. Remember, that's also an issue that has to be figured out. So, Than, let's walk people through. So, we start off with the stimulus checks. It's less money than went out last time. Last time, I think it was about $1,200. This time, it's $600, and we'll tell people the parameters there.
Yeah, it's less than last time. It's for individuals making up to $75,000 a year or for couples making up to $150,000 per year, $600 instead of the $1,200 last time. One interesting note, though, Jordan, last time children got $500 each. Under this agreement, it looks like they're going to get $600 each. So a typical family of four making less than $150,000 could get up to $2,400 in direct checks. And just one messaging point I would put out there, Jordan, remember, the president and even Senator Bernie Sanders, were calling for this kind of direct stimulus directly to the American people months ago. It was Speaker Pelosi who didn't want to do that. She wanted to spend trillions of dollars mainly on state bailouts. So the idea that we get on the other side of an election and this kind of package is available that's going to put checks into the pockets of the American people. Jordan, the one thing I would say is if it were for the president and frankly, many members on the left and the right, this would have been out the door months ago.
The good thing about this is, though, it is going to give relief to people that need it. And as we get into the vaccination phase of this, and hopefully things will get better quickly, you still have the lingering economic impact of this that is, you know, had some significant impact on a lot of people, and especially a lot of small businesses, which employ most of the people in the United States of America. So I think what we have here, is the framework of something that will be very, very good. Again, for the short term, these are not long-term solutions. The long-term solution is to get the economy open back up fully when we've got this pandemic more under control. But this, I think everybody will acknowledge that this is a very good move and the right move at the right time politically, but also for the American people. So the fact is the American people needed relief. I think they're getting it.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, the American people up to $2,400 for a family of four. And then, again, small business relief. This is very important. If you're still getting a paycheck and you work in a small business, there'll be up to, there's $325 billion available, $284 billion specifically in those forgivable loans through the Paycheck Protection Program, $20 billion for businesses in low-income communities, and $15 billion for struggling live venues, independent movie theaters, museums. There's rental assistance and eviction moratoriums to get in here. There's airline aids. There's tax breaks. I mean, again, it might not have everything that everybody wanted, but let me tell you something, folks. It really looked like we were going to be heading into the end of the year with nothing, with no stimulus. And I think it took a lot of brave Republicans, some brave Democrats, who really bucked Nancy Pelosi and said, we're not going to do this. We're not going to continue to punish the American people for the coronavirus and the shutdowns and lockdowns in a lot of blue states where people are feeling it the most. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
The album is Hope of Jerusalem. It's available wherever you buy your music. And if we have one of the music videos for, we're getting near Christmas, a couple days away, let's go ahead and play one as a little bonus today at the end of the broadcast. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, we encourage you to subscribe. Yeah, on YouTube, it's easy. Just hit subscribe and the bell. That makes it very simple. And then you're part of the team. On Facebook, you just follow and like, and you can get notification and sign up for notifications as well.
So this is, I want to play this because Sydney on Facebook wrote, do we know how much of Nancy Pelosi's pork spending is in the bill? Not yet exactly. We know the top line items that affect Americans the most. And honestly, I think that's what people care about. I think people care about right now is how it's going to affect them. I don't know if they care about the extra pork spending as much because a lot of people are not in a situation to even have that concern. A lot of people are in the situation, they're wondering if they're going to get their next paycheck. A lot of employers, small businesses are wondering if they're going to be able to write the next paychecks for their companies. And the eviction moratorium again, but also assistance to the landlords as well. Very important. Airline industry aid, because we all, again, we don't want those airlines all to fail. You rely on them not just for, remember, air travel, but for all of your packages being delivered. That comes through airlines for the most part. Most of that is not done through just UPS or FedEx jets that could do international flights, but it's a lot of that is through partnerships with regular airlines. So during Christmas time, you want to make sure those are operating, obviously, in the holidays. Again, go back to Nancy Pelosi. This is, again, just earlier in the month, and why she wouldn't do this, you know, before the election. Why not make it clear to the American people that they weren't going to have to worry about this as they cast their votes in the last election? Take a listen.
Not to accept half of a loaf months ago when you said, I'm not going to accept half a loaf.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. Now, don't characterize what we did before as a mistake, as a preface to your question, if you want an answer. That was not a mistake. It was a decision, and it has taken us to a place where we can do the right thing without other, shall we say, considerations in the legislation that we don't want. Now, that is it. Now, the fact is, I'm very proud of where we are.
So, I mean, this is, again, the doublespeak. Nancy Pelosi saying she wouldn't take half. And basically, if you look at most of this,
she took half.
She took half. Instead of $1,200 an individual, it's $600. So it could be up to $2,400 for a family of four, and that could be more for a bigger family. But it's half of everything. It's half of the the unemployment.
But they extended the unemployment supplement.
But it is half.
It's half. But they extended the supplement, another $300. And I think that's important week because that gives people the extra they need to get through this. Look, we're all hoping that with the vaccines now being deployed, but it's going to take months and months and months for that to be effective. I mean, that we got to keep the economy going. I think that
through the toughest 3 months, which is probably right now.
I think we're in the toughest 3 months. I mean, we saw that here where our media center is.
Yeah,
in Tennessee.
We're in a red state. We're in Tennessee where things are very open and have been probably the most open in the country. And our governor announced last night, you know, while we're not doing the shutdowns like California and New York, and so it's not going to have that kind of effect. Businesses are still open in the sense that restaurants and stores can still
be
open. But it's very limited now. It told companies to basically, people don't need to be at work. Let them work from home.
We're doing that.
Wear a mask. You know, we're not in the studio. We're wearing masks. We're not like trying to be a cavalier about this. So you see us in the studio. We're distanced. The guys in the room across from us that aren't as distanced, they're in masks.
All
I've
the
been
guys
in a mask all day.
Yeah, I mean, So I mean, I'm holding mine right here because I walked in wearing it.
So I get to my desk and close the door. You know, I'm in a mask or a mask, and then I think that's just. That's just something we have to do to protect those around us. We have individuals here to be in prayer for, by the way.
Yep.
Someone who's been with us since as long as I have at the ACLJ, and I've known him longer than that, is in a serious surgery right now. He's part of our production team. He's usually part of this show and every video you see at the ACLJ and all the specials that you see. The ACLJ, he's in surgery right now, serious surgery right now. So prayers for him. Because in the midst of that, you've got COVID going on. It makes it that much more difficult.
And his wife can't be
young
there.
Young kids, Christmas time. Again, it's great.
We would encourage everybody to pray for him. I don't want to give his name because I don't want to intrude. But just God knows. And pray for it. It's a senior staff person. But more than that, he's like part of our family. He's been with us, like Jordan said. He's been with Jordan since they were in what grade where you started playing on the golf team?
Eighth grade. Yeah.
And he's worked with us ever since. And I mean, this is a young man, an adult who we've grown up with, who is has a very serious illness and is under a very serious surgery right now. I mean, really serious surgery.
Yeah.
And I got to say this, and I appreciate our staff for the following on understanding this. When we changed our policies yesterday at the ACLJ on how we're going to handle this going forward, the person that was in my mind was Aaron, was our guy. And I said, you know, we got to protect people like him. And listen, I'm not a kid. I got underlying conditions.
Yeah, we have other people too. It's not all a bunch of 30-year-olds.
Yeah, we've
here.
Got people that you see on this radio broadcast that have underlying conditions. So we decided that we were going to implement a policy because it made sense to have masks in the office when you're not in your workspace.
Yeah, and I think that's still again giving people more flexibility than a lot of places. You're still able to come in. We have encouraged people that, you know, if you don't have to be here, but most of that production team, of course, we've got to be here. But then also that we're still giving you, once you're at your desk, you're able to, you know, take your mask off, not have that distraction. Listen, you can't go into a gas station where we are, and we're in the reddest of red states and with the least restrictions, even after last night's remarks. So I think this stimulus package had to come, Than. I know there's people who are against stimuluses always. There's people who don't like government bailouts, but this is like, we know we are getting into a rough few months with COVID, and that even in states that have resisted restrictions, they're going to have to put in some common sense restrictions at least, which won't be nearly as severe as New York or nearly as severe as California. But I think we're kind of getting close to that time when other states may not have other states. They may not want people traveling from other states, that kind of thing. And so people needed something, and they needed something to make sure their landlords weren't going to have to kick them out, and so it had to help the landlords, have to also give a moratorium on evictions, which this does again. They needed to make sure they could keep their people on payroll. A lot of small businesses, that's all they've been trying to do, not make money, just keep their people on payroll so they didn't have to fire their staff. And the good thing about the PPP loans is that the costs are deductible. And it's really it's a forgiven loan if you keep your staff on. So there's the incentive there, not for employers just to fire everybody and keep the money for the business. It's really just to keep people on staff. It's not to really benefit the business. It's just to keep people. It's about individuals working.
Let me ask this, Than. So what's the process here? So we've come to an agreement. What is the process this goes through now for implementation?
Yeah, so it's starting in the House of Representatives, Jay. The Rules Committee has to meet and report out the language of the bill. That actually may happen while we're on air. then the House has to go through several hours of voting on it. And Jay, what they're going to do is they're going to vote on this in two different packages. They're going to vote on the package that Jordan's been talking about, the stimulus package, about $900 billion. And then separately, they're going to vote on the regular government funding. That's about $1.4 trillion. And then procedurally, Jay, they will send that over to the United States Senate as one giant bill. I was going back and forth with members of the Senate just a minute ago, and they expect maybe to take this up somewhere around 10 o'clock tonight. Now, that's a moving target. People need to be aware of that. But they would take it up somewhere around 10 o'clock tonight, debate it, and send it to the president for his signature. And Jay, just kind of to cut to the chase, Secretary Mnuchin said just this morning that he still thinks if everything stays on track, those checks that Jordan was talking about could be in the pockets of the American people as early as next week. And I would just echo this. This is really pretty targeted, Jay. It's checks in people's pockets, it's small business lending, and it's unemployment insurance. This is a very different stimulus package than the $4 trillion one that Speaker Pelosi was pushing. This is the one that you pass in a time of pandemic.
Yeah, this is also gives instant relief to people, and that's what people need. Now, taking it a step further, that doesn't mean, by the way, you lose the United States Senate, that you're not going to see some kind of stimulus package that will burden the American people with debt that will take generations to pay off. So this is, I think, a measured approach. What we have to do is, by the way, your Georgia Senate race is very close. So, why don't you take a minute and describe where that is?
Well, I mean, let's put this on the screen for people watching on Facebook and YouTube, Periscope. This is the kind of stuff that people are seeing in Georgia right outside where the SEC championship was held over the weekend. Vote Democrat, get $1,200. And then under it says, not an offer or solicitation. What they talked about there was a stimulus. By the way, that didn't actually occur. Their stimulus, you got $600. So that's a bad ad. But also, talk about right on the line of illegal. I mean, vote Democrat, get $1,200 is very misleading to a lot of, I don't say uneducated voters, like the people themselves are uneducated. What I mean is they may not be educated on election law.
You can't pay people to vote. You can't buy a vote.
But a lot of people think, hey, we're going to get $1,200 if I vote Democrat. I'll go vote Democrat. That's what they were trying to do with this.
Yeah.
This was not a message on stimulus. This was a message on trying to take advantage of people who didn't know better. And this is the Democrat kind of messaging.
Yeah.
We have the same amount of votes have come in early voting now as have for the general election.
I want to talk about the election coming up in the next segment of the broadcast. So if you're watching, share this with your friends on our social media platform, certainly on radio. And again, don't forget, support the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign. We are in the last days of that campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. I say these are the most important days, the most important month, and the most important week for the ACLJ. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Attention for a moment, at least for a segment here, on the status of kind of where the things are in the election. And the election that counts right now is the election in Georgia for the United States Senate. Dan, the Senate Republican Committee has poured in a lot of money, as has the Democrats. I mean, this is the amount of money. Is this going to reach a record?
Oh, I think so, Jay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to follow the track that we told people it would. All eyes of the nation on it. All the resources of both parties pouring in. You know, the president, the vice president has their attention down there. And, Jay, I would just say this. I mean, Jordan put up the picture of the truck that sure offered to be looked like it was offering to pay people to vote. There are a lot of other dirty tricks going on. You know, Democrats posing as Republicans, trying to get Republican voters not to vote for the Republican candidates. I just want to kind of bring everybody's attention back on one simple fact. Even with all of the problems that happened in Georgia on November the 3rd, even with all of those factored in, David Perdue still won his race by almost 2%, just wasn't able to clear the 50% to get a runoff. And on the other one, with all of those people in there, there are about 15 candidates, Jay, on both sides, the Republicans still outpaced the Democrats by a full percent. So, yes, definitely have to be focused on election integrity. Definitely a lot of money pouring in. But even with all of those factors involved, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue won on November 3rd. And so I don't want people to be too discouraged down there. It's definitely a national election. Definitely could go either way, and people need to go out and vote.
I think the concern, though, Jordan, is what you're hearing, I'm hearing, is that people are concerned about voter integrity, and they're, why are we going to vote if it's not going to count right? And I think you got to trust the system at this point. When I say trust the system, it's like kind of trust but verify. There are a lot of checks and balances now in place. So you got to go out and vote. Do not exercise your right. Now, the early voting looks pretty extensive. I mean, if it's equaling.
It is.
Okay, if it's equaling the
right
numbers
track,
that came, what do you think that means for the candidates?
I think that means both sides are voting. We don't have a breakdown yet of Republican, Democrat, but what we do know is that the numbers are exactly the same as they were, right on track. It's 1.3 million already come in. Remember, Stacey Abrams had talked about she had 1.2 absentees ready to go. Now, I don't know if all those would be in yet, so there will be Republican votes in this because there's in-person voting too. Occurring. It's not all. In fact, there's not mail-in voting in Georgia. There's only absentee. You have to make those requests. So now it's. But it is at the point of the general election. I mean, that is unprecedented for a U.S. Senate race. Now, we will see if, like, next week, probably not next week, is not going to be a great indicator because of the holidays. But we'll see, I think, at the end of the month, is it still on that track a week before? Or does Christmas and New Year's really slow it down? I mean, that's, to me, Than's probably the biggest indicator. It's staying on this, like, hyperactive track right now, but then you get into Christmas to New Year's, and a lot of these voting places won't be open for a few days, you know, yep. A day here, a day there. And then it's whether or not it picks back up those final 4 days.
When is the vote? January 5th.
January 5th. So, I mean, it's not long after the holiday. A lot of people, in fact, if they're taking any kind of holiday, maybe still on holiday. A lot of schools aren't going back until later. Now, my daughter's school is not going back. They were going to go back the 4th. Now they're going to go back the 11th because if people were traveling during the holidays, they wanted to give people a week back at home to see if everybody was healthy enough before they reopened the schools. That's happening a lot all over the place. And some schools that are just starting to think they may have in-person. We're thinking like, you know, mid-month of January. Yeah. So that's the only catch to this number is that whether or not it slows down because everything slows down because of the holidays. Does it pick back up?
Yeah.
And listen, the president said last night he'll be there the day before.
Yeah, and I think Ivanka Trump is there today. She's in North Fulton and Walton counties, yeah. Which are both northern portion.
A lot of travel
Georgia.
There.
Yeah, so and the vice president was just down there. But then I think it'd be important to explain to people how significant this is.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the difference between Leader Schumer and Leader McConnell. It's the difference between having a check for the confirmations of the nominations of potential President Biden or not having a check, just having a rubber stamp in the United States Senate for not only the nominations, but also for the Green New Deal, court packing, higher taxes. and all the rest. I think Jordan's correct that there probably is an expectation that maybe the pace of voting could drop off a little bit. But I'll tell you, the fact that it's on track right now with the presidential election, that is just unheard of for a runoff. One thing I do think that officials in Georgia need to be looking at, and we need to hold them accountable for this, Jay. I read a report that there were almost 40,000 new voters that didn't vote in November 3rd. Now, look, that can be totally legitimate. People can be becoming old enough to vote. People can be legitimately moving into the state. But Jay, we also know that there was an intentional effort for people to move into the state just for this election. So officials in Georgia, to do their job, have to continue to look at that, have to make sure that this election has integrity, even if there were doubts about November 3rd.
I mean, the polling is looking good for Republicans. Now, I don't love polling, but a lot of times we were talking about that because we were talking about presidential race and those national polls and things like that. But the latest poll out of Georgia, 12-14 to 12-16, so this was conducted just last week, a big sample of not likely voters but registered voters, 1,064 people in the sample. The margin of error was only 2.9, a very low margin of error. Has Loeffler up by 6. That's our biggest lead ever in any poll. Now, you still have to go vote to make that a reality. And that's very clear that you've got to go vote.
What's interesting is
Purdue is still hovering in that 2-3. And that same poll showed Purdue up 2. Now, some of that has been because Purdue won, already beat Ossoff. It was that kind of number, 2-3. And Warnock has been exposed as how liberally is he. Jeremiah Wright was preaching at his church. And so that is, again, I think because of that, Ivanka Trump in Georgia right now as we speak, with a massive event. And so all of this attention, I think, on Georgia, it's just going to come down to who's got the energy in those final 4 days.
Do you find it interesting, though, that there be a 4-point spread between the two Republican candidates?
Yes, I think whoever – I do not think there is anyone, really. There's always some one-offs. People may really not like somebody, but see, generally speaking – 99.999% of people are going to go in there and vote for the same two sides, whether it's two Democrats or two Republicans, and that's it. There's a possibility, I think there's more Democrats who don't like Warnock. That may be why Loeffler has that lead.
Okay.
So Republicans, I think, do go in and vote straight ticket. But it may be that Warnock is too much for some Democrats in Georgia with his extremism, with his defund the police, with his anti-Semitism, hanging out with Omar and Tlaib and that whole crowd, and Jeremiah Wright.
And he would definitely be in that crowd.
Yeah, I mean, this is somebody who would not usually be able to get elected in Georgia, not because he's African-American, but because he is a extremist from that world of the Jeremiah Wright kind of doesn't like Jews. Blames a lot of stuff on Jews, has done that, hangs out with the anti-Israel crowd, hangs out with the defund the police crowd. So it's more than just Black Lives Matter for him. It's, he's hung out with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright crowd. Those are his colleagues and his friends. And I think that's different than a white kid like John Ossoff in Georgia, who, if you're just a liberal Democrat, even though he has no experience, like Andy likes to point out, not as off-putting, maybe, as somebody who's got a long record of really radical stuff, including the fact that if you're a Jewish Democrat voter, you're probably not going to vote for Warnock.
Yeah, I would think so with the anti-Israel stuff. Hey, folks, we need your help right here. This is the last couple of days here. We're really in the last, the throes of the last week almost, of our work for the ACLJ for the year 2020, and what a year it's been. But your support is critical, especially in these closing days of our December Matching Challenge campaign. This is our biggest month of the year. These are our biggest days of the year. Your support makes a gigantic difference. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, go to aclj.org, make that matching gift, help us get to our goals so we can set our budget for next year, where it is going to be busy. We'll talk about that in the second half hour of the broadcast.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We're going to dive into it deeper tomorrow, but Eric Swalwell, Nancy Pelosi, and Kevin McCarthy got a briefing specifically.
By the FBI.
Just the two of them. And Nancy Pelosi has been very vocal in supporting Swalwell, and, of course, Kevin McCarthy has called for him to resign from the Intel Committee. Well, Kevin McCarthy came out, and I just want to play this for everybody because we're going to get into it more tomorrow, but he came out of that meeting. I think what's even more important is that Nancy Pelosi came out of the meeting and has said nothing yet. Now, before the meeting, she was defending Swalwell. After the meeting, just for the two leaders of the House, Nancy Pelosi and again McCarthy, this is what Kevin McCarthy had to say. Pretty strong statement. Take a listen.
Friday, we finally got our FBI briefing. It was just the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and myself. It was a very thorough briefing. No one that was in that room could walk out and say Eric Swalwell should be on the Intel Committee.
Mm. And again, the silence from Nancy Pelosi means I think he's probably losing support within his own.
Well,
she's not one who minds cutting one off if you start hurting her. Now, her vote margin is getting low, Than. I mean, that is the issue.
Yeah, boy.
Is that she probably can't lose a vote of someone like Eric Swalwell for Speaker.
Well, two things here, Jordan. First of all, you notice that Leader McCarthy just asked for the other members of the committee to be briefed. If you think back a week ago, what was it that Speaker Pelosi said? She said that those members of the committee already knew. Jordan, that was an outright lie, because if it weren't a lie, she wouldn't be concerned if they got the briefing now that McCarthy and Pelosi got. But yeah, on the margin, Jordan.
Didn't get it to the extent they're about to get it.
No.
Right. On the margins, though, Jordan, 222 elected Democrats, three of them have already been tabbed by Joe Biden to potentially serve in the administration. That would bring her numbers down to 219. Even though there's a little bit of cushion there between the 213 Republicans that are expected, Jordan, it doesn't lower the 218 threshold that she has to get for to be the Speaker. So I think that definitely factors in to what she's saying about not giving these members the briefing. But we need to juxtapose it against what she said last week. They already have the information. Clearly, Jordan, they don't, because they're not getting the briefing that McCarthy and Pelosi got yesterday.
No, I think the ramifications. Look, Eric Swalwell was one of the most aggressive and obnoxious, I will say, individuals in that impeachment exercise. He called the president of the United States an agent of the Russian government on multiple occasions.
Wrote a book about it.
Yep. Then turns around. He is the one that has the connections with the Chinese that ran so deep that they had people in his interns in his office. For all we know, those could have been agents. We don't know that. But, I mean, I don't think they were just random people. And this college student was also an economic bundler, meaning she put money together for his campaign. And nobody figured this out while they were going after the president of the United States. That's what it tells me.
Yeah. I'm going to go. We're going to take your calls when we get back for this break, because I know people have questions about the stimulus. They have questions about Georgia as well. But I did want to just mention that we want to dive into that tomorrow. And we are going to and kind of see, will the rest of the committee get the briefing that McCarthy and Pelosi got? How is this going to affect the leadership of the Democrat Party in the House of Representatives? But I know there's still a lot of questions about stimulus. There's a lot of questions about Georgia, rightfully so. And I know there's some pro-life victories as well we want to talk about. So let me just encourage you. One, we're taking your phone calls on a wide variety of matters. We're about to start doing that. We come back in 3 minutes from right now. So we've got about a minute left with you. Then it'll be about a two-minute commercial break. And then we will start taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. This is a critical time to support our work financially at aclj.org. You double the impact of your donation. because we have a group of donors the entire month of December who are ready to match whatever donation comes through. All of them. They match all of them through the month of December. But you've got to make that initial donation for them to do that. So they've agreed to match them. But it's all up to you to see how much they're having to match. So double the impact of your donation. Make that $20 donation more like, it's like $40 for the ACLJ, $50, like $100 for the ACLJ, because the work we're doing right now and the work we'll be doing in 2021. ACLJ.org. Donate today. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Right to your phone calls. We'll update you on this too. There's not text in the House on the stimulus package. That does not mean, however, that they won't be getting that together soon. Let me ask Than real quickly. Than, does that mean that, I mean, that there's a chance this doesn't get through?
No, I don't think it means that.
Okay.
I mean, you know this, Jordan. It's never done until it's actually approved. But this is always the process. There's been no breach in the agreement. They're just having to compile together two very large bills. It takes some time, and they have to have the text before the House Rules Committee can report out the rules. So I don't think this is a major red flag. It's just taking a little bit longer than we thought.
Could be late.
And Jordan, to be real honest with you, that's not unusual.
This could just be a very late night for Congress.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm fine with them having a late night working for the American people. That's their job. I want to talk to people about, well, we'll stick with the stimulus, and then we'll kind of move on to Georgia and a couple of issues involving
Planned
Georgia.
Parenthood, we got a big case on.
Let me talk to Eric in Ohio first. Hey, Eric, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Eric.
Hello. I just had a question with the stimulus, and where are... national debt is at the moment. Has it improved? Has it decreased or increased?
It's increased. The national debt has increased. I don't think there's any bones about
constantly.
It. That's just kind of the cost of doing business in America right now. And that's been going on for decades, and that I don't see that changing under, it didn't change under the president, and it's not going to change under Biden.
No, I mean, listen, if you were a Trump supporter, President Trump had no problem spending with debt and adding to the debt. He thinks that his economic idea was that it's kind of meaningless, that it has no effect because those who have the interest have no interest in then taking down the country wouldn't be good for them economically. So whether it's Chinese that own the debt or them, like why?
Right.
There's really no enforcement mechanism. So I know there's people who don't like it, and they think that ultimately, and I understand that, our national debt right now is at, can I get to that number? Is that trillion? Is that 27 trillion? Yeah, 27 trillion, and it's adding hundreds of thousands by the second.
Yeah.
And that, but listen, people are trying to put food on their table, so I don't really care about that number.
I'm with you.
Small businesses want to keep you on their payroll
and keep
that's a lot better than firing you, isn't it? And then the landlords are getting some relief so that you don't have to pay your rent so that you can keep your business going. Theaters, venues, bars, restaurants, gig workers, people who have that work in that kind of those kind of industries too. They're getting benefits. I mean, a family of four that makes 150 grand, which up to 150 grand, which is not a small income,
right?
Getting up to $2,400, and that's more if you have more kids.
That
obviously
also allows them to spend money. It's a part of this is not.
Yes, this is not about saving it because it's not that kind of money. This is to make sure you put food on the table,
which means you're buying groceries, right?
You feel a little bit more confident putting a little bit more in your credit card because you know you're going to have some cash to pay that off for your kids. You're not traveling likely right now. I think the key is to this always is not it is important that money that goes right to people, but it's the people with jobs. It's so that we don't have more unemployed people. So that the payment protection plan, the PPP loan, is so key because that's why we don't have even larger unemployment. Now, if you are unemployed, you're going to be getting more money. So you'll be adding another additional $300 to that. Then I want to explain that to people one more time. So if you're unemployed, we talked about the amount you'll get if for individuals, $75,000. It's a 300. A family, $150,000 or less, $600. But it's also $600 per dependent child. So a family of four would be at $2,400 for unemployed. What are they getting additionally this time? Because I know there's always that talk. Well, if we keep people who are unemployed and keep giving these increases, they're going to stay unemployed. I think right now the government's figured out that the people who are unemployed are just they work in parts of our economy that just aren't coming back right now.
Yep.
And so it's not like they want to be unemployed. It's that what their specialty is isn't coming back right now. So but it is a little bit less than last time, but tell people what they're getting.
Well, and a lot of those jobs are going to start coming back online as the vaccine rolls out, right, Jordan. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So I think this effort is try to sync up those timelines, sync up the unemployment insurance with when that vaccine rollout will continue to permeate the population. But this is an additional 11 weeks, Jordan, so through March 14th, and it would be an additional $300 on the federal level of unemployment insurance. And just to reiterate, we've done it several times, but unemployment insurance is by and large a state-based program. So you still have to go through your state. You still get the same amount you normally would. You still have to qualify through the state. This is the federal government supplementing an additional $300 a week on top of that level. So someone in Montana is going to be treated not differently, but just through a different program than someone in New York. Just like the last time around, it's $300 from the federal level on top of what they would have been getting from the state level.
You know, it's interesting. Will Haynes, our producer, pointed this out, that there's a big difference in just adding to the debt kind of at random. We'll just spend more money. When many of the economic impacts came from government mandates, now you're trying to alleviate stress placed on American people and small businesses. So this isn't bailing out an industry at the whole. You know, we're not saying we're bailing out the auto industry here, although some of these industries will get PPP. I mean, that's part of it. That's keep them going so they can keep working. But this is much more across the board. Now, nobody likes increasing debt. But the fact of the matter is, I think from an economic standpoint, I think the president's been right that this is not the debt factor is not the factor that controls how the economics are. And you said it, Jordan, for people putting food on their table or being able to spend a little bit, because some of the cutoff number is pretty high for a married family. It's almost $200,000. But the idea is if they get that $2,400, they're going to spend that in the economy. That means more people will be paid, more restaurants will, if they can open, will stay open. But as we're getting into probably the most difficult 2 or 3 months of this pandemic, and that's what it looks like we're hitting, businesses are going to be hurting. So, you know, Than, I'm worried that this isn't, you know, this is great, but I'm not sure this is enough. There may be another one needed. We've talked about that before to keep the economy afloat and the American people afloat.
I think there probably will be, Jay. I mean, I think President Trump actually wanted the direct checks to be larger this time around. Several months ago, he was actually asking for $1,800 in a check, and maybe that would have staved off the need for something in the future. But I think there probably will be an additional need. And just one comment on the, you know, the national debt and the spending problem. I mean, Jay, the reason you try to get these bills narrowly tailored, so, you know, checks and small business assistance and unemployment insurance, and then hold off those other ridiculous pork spending projects that Speaker Pelosi wanted, including bailouts for the state, is in case you do need to come back and you do need to pass additional stimulus for the people who have actually been directly harmed by the pandemic. You need to keep it narrowly tailored to that in case an additional tranche is needed. You won't have spent all that money already.
No, I'm hopeful that you hope you don't need it, right? I mean, that's the hope, that things turn around quick enough that you don't need it. But the reality is we might. And well, I think that the economy's done amazingly well considering everything that has happened. But this is we're entering a serious 3 months. Like I said, we're being very cautious right here at the American Center for Law and Justice and our offices around the country. And I'll tell you, around the world, I don't even know in our office in France now if they're even working out of that office, because you see the lockdowns going on in Europe because of the spread of this. But the good news is, and the president's never going to get the credit he deserves, in 9 months, 10 months, we have a vaccine, two of them now. That should be one of the legacies of this administration, that in record time, warp speed was a success. And now when I watch the mainstream media and they're talking about warp speed in a positive light when they were mocking it 3 months ago. But now after the election, they're talking about it as a good thing. Will CNN and MSNBC give the president credit for his leadership to get that vaccine done? I doubt it.
No, I think that they've already tried. They were all saying it was impossible for him to do it. There's no way this could happen. He's lying to the American people. He's living in a fantasy land. You know, the list went on and on. And then it happened, and they were all celebrating it, but they're celebrating, you know, big business. Big business that was being funded by President Trump at this warp speed level. And now it's two different companies. So you've got Moderna as well that is approved. And again, you know, there's been some reactions to it that have been great, but nothing fatal or anything like that. So it is, I think, a massive success of the Trump administration. And one, again, history will look back and we'll look back on and say, wow, nothing like this has ever been done before. These usually took years. And it'll be something we're likely all living with for multiple years. This is not a one-time hit on the shot. And people I know my age, we're not going to be probably getting those shots for a very long time. Hopefully, I'm hoping that by the summer, so that schools are kind of open normal in the fall, which I think also helps business and helps the economy, when parents can rely on school, at least the school day, to know that their kids are not going to be at home and having to learn through a computer screen. We come back, we continue to take more of your phone calls. Final segment coming up at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Talk to you on Jay Sekulow Live. Remember, this is in a very important month for us at the American Center for Law and Justice. Whatever you're able to donate is effectively doubled. That's at ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. So we have this group of donors who say everything that comes through in donation the month of December, we match it. So everything comes through December 31st, they match. That means you double the impact of your donation. So think about that at a time where, you know, your $25 donation for us means that you've activated $50 for us at the ACLJ. So you really are making a significant impact. Donate today at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
And by the way, we're doing a concert the New Year's Eve. And we just went in and did two more songs. So we've got two more new tunes on top of the six new tunes we did over the last, you know, basically the last 3 months. So what we've got planned for you on this one, we've gone to the vault for some of the classics that we're going to play for you. Obviously, this is going to be a tremendous night of fun, I think, for those of you that enjoy these concerts that we do. I don't know if we're putting it on YouTube yet. I think we might be. They're looking at that right now, and it'll be up on Rumble, I'm sure, eventually, and Facebook, of course. And the interesting aspect of it is we did two new tunes. Last month we did Maybe I'm Amazed and that Neil Young tune, Old Man. This month we did two tunes, Reminiscing, which was a Little River Band tune. If you're my age, you remember that one, which I play drums on. And then Stepping Stone by the Monkees, because we did another Monkees hit that got a lot of people say, I want to hear more Monkees. So we added a Monkees. I'm playing guitar in that one. And I just heard the cuts. Everybody, what we did was everybody came into the studio here separately. So you will see, like, Mark Townsend, our guitarist, or John Elfante or John Schlitt singing, and the drum kit is going to be empty. But you're going to hear the drums. And Jordan will explain this that night, because we each went in and cut our part, and then the editing video team came in and put it together. So we're going to pull all the tunes out that we did during the pandemic. So right from the beginning, when we started doing them in those boxes, we're going to do those, and then we moved it eventually into the studio and did them separately there. And hopefully, Lord willing, in four or five months, or maybe even less, we'll be able to get the guys back together. But right now, let's get through. My view is on the pandemic. Let's get through January, February, and March, to which we'll go to our phones. Let's go ahead and take a call, Jordan.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Rod in Washington State, and then we'll get to Tom in Pennsylvania next. Hey, Rod, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Yep. The work of your organization is an inspiration to all of us out here, so thank you for it. My question is regarding the Georgia runoff.
Yep.
The state constitution seems to say that only those who were eligible to vote in the general can vote in the runoff, so that there's a blackout period for new voter registrations for the 2 months in between the two elections.
That's not correct. It's a 30-day window. The Constitution of the state of Georgia has it that you have to be a resident of the state for 30 days.
Okay, well, that was my question, was that there seems to have been some settlement, like in 2017, that changed it and trumped it somehow. I just was curious if that was true, and it sounds
no,
like
that was more into dealing with match. As far as I know, my understanding is that you have to be a resident for 30 days. I think about 70,000 new people have registered that did not vote during.
And that doesn't mean they weren't eligible to vote.
They just didn't.
They weren't registered to vote. A lot of states, and I'm not sure if Georgia's one of them. I feel like when I lived there, and the first state I got a driver's license in, so I'm thinking that you could have registered to vote when you got your license, but it's not an automatic.
Right.
And again, if you moved in the state, you already have a license somewhere else. You haven't had to renew one yet. But, you know, list goes on and on. Listen, there's excitement around these two races. Everybody doesn't live in Georgia, but everybody cares about the outcome of this. And the question is going to be who's more excited at the end of the day. And I think that there's a very real concern. I don't like it, but there's a very real concern. Republicans are acting like babies. They're sitting on their hands and they're whining and whining. And they want to see miracles happen about the general election of 2020. And until they see those, they're like trying to hold out their votes. That's not what they should be doing.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. That's bad. I don't care. It's not like, don't even think about it, because I don't like helping Republicans. I don't think they did enough. David Perdue's campaign alone ran everything for President Trump. I don't think Trump spent any money there. I think it was all through the Perdue campaign. And could they have done different things? I mean, I don't know. Perdue won his race, and Trump did not. So Perdue spent millions and millions of dollars in those combined ads saying,
right,
Trump, Perdue, so that the Trump campaign could spend their resources other places. Should they have spent more in Georgia as a campaign?
Sure.
Yes. That's obvious now. Because I still believe, and I still believe this today, that if Republicans turn out and don't act like babies in Georgia and get excited, they win both these races. And Donald Trump should have won as well. But they got afraid. I think a lot of them too, they got more into having, you know, those flotillas and parties,
uh-huh,
than they did actually showed up and voting.
Well, I do think that was a problem, actually. A lot of people, you know, you go to the rally, did they vote?
Oh, look, he's got it in the bag, because I see a bunch of people at a bar with a Trump hat on. No.
Yeah, no. So, well, you learn that from this election cycle.
Yeah.
But the other thing you got to know, and you do have to know this, is your vote does count. And this is a national election. We're talking about I'm going to have Than run through a list between judicial nominations and stimulus bills and funding of Planned Parenthood and judges that the United States Senate responsible for. And this election in Georgia becomes a national election, not because everybody can vote on it, but because it's going to impact everybody.
Get the most attention are the legislative items, you know, the flashy things like the Green New Deal or, you know, higher taxes or maybe the efforts of court packing. But Jay, how many times have we talked on this broadcast about the new threshold for confirming nominations? It's now just 50 votes plus the tie-breaking vote of the vice president. And that's true for executive nominations. It's true for judicial nominations. It's true for Supreme Court nominations. And Jay, it's going to be true on a number of regulatory improvements that President Trump passed too, that the Senate would try to come back and undo. So really, you talk about all of these legacy items all the way down the list for President Trump. Every single one of them, really, Jay, is on the ballot. Now, you can't unseat the three justices that are sitting on the Supreme Court. You can't, you know, unseat the 233 federal judges. That's exactly where I was going. You could add additional seats to dilute them. And I just think you have to take them at their word when they say, if we get the control of every lever of government, this is what we want to do. Jay, it's a very dangerous thing to not believe them when they say that. All of those things are on the ballot in Georgia.
I would believe them. Yeah. They'll try to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have the Senate. They'll try to do it.
Go to Tom in Pennsylvania. I think it's probably going to be a final call of the day. Hey, Tom, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live here on the air.
Thank you very much. Jay and Jordan, we really want to thank you for all the work you've done here in the United States and abroad.
Thanks.
I have two questions relating to Georgia. First question is, what is being done to secure the voting machines to prevent illegal programming on those voting machines they're going to use, and to ensure the proper data is generated from those voting machines? The second question is, you mentioned very unethical practices that are being done right now in Georgia regarding messaging. What it's being done to counter message.
I got you. So, I mean, I do a lot of work with C4's organizations like this. It'd be a 527. So it's getbidenbucks.com. These are pop-up new groups. It says vote Democrat, get $1,200. Now, when you go to getbidenbucks.com, it'll say he wants a stimulus check for you of $1,200. So you're not going to get $1,200 when you walk out of the voting booth. But it is highly misleading. It's parked right next to the Mercedes.
They do a lot of work in C4s and 527.
It's parked right next to the Mercedes where they had the SEC championship on Saturday.
And I
think on the other issue, the machines have been audited.
Yep.
They're not supposed to be plugged into anything
right
electronically. They're supposed to have internet they're plugged into themselves through a system, but not to the outside internet. And right. there has been an, there will be an audit of signatures as well.
Yep.
On all, statewide, done by the University of Georgia, of all the mail-in ballots.
All right. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge. ACLJ.org.
I'll be on Newsmax in 15 minutes.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.